Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy, GD. In this episode, it's all done, guys. The NCAA tournament is all finished. We got championships for the men and the women. We'll talk all about that. Olivia Miles, she does something that surprises everyone. I'll talk about that as well. Also, you got a few guys that declared for the NBA draft. We'll talk about that. I'll talk a little bit about WNBA draft coming up as well. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, it's all wrapped up now. It's in the books. You got your men's championship and women's championship in the NCAA tournament. So we will break all that down. Also, too, WNBA draft is just a week away, guys. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Some of the guys entering the NBA draft and also Olivia Miles' story. I want to get to this because it's very compelling surrounding all that's taking place with the WNBA draft. So without any further delay, let's get right to it. I'm going to start with the men, guys. So we had our final four Saturday, and I'm going to be honest with you guys. I was completely surprised with the results here. In the first game, you had Florida going up against Auburn. I just knew Auburn was on a mission, especially with Johnny Broome, the way he was playing throughout the tournament. But that wasn't to be, guys. Florida pulled out the victory in this one. 79-73. Mind you, at the half, Auburn was up by 8, so it looked like I was sitting pretty with my pick. And I just knew I was good to go. But that wasn't to be, guys. And the big story in this game, I think, is twofold. You had the turnover battle, in which it was funny because Florida had 16 turnovers to Auburn's 12. But when it came to points off turnovers, Florida had the advantage 16-6. So very interesting, compelling results there. And then the rebounds, Florida out-rebounded them by 9, guys. So, but nonetheless, the big story for them, Walter Clayton Jr. I mean, he put on an absolute show. 34 points, guys, of which he hit 5 threes, guys, and throw in 4 rebounds with that. And here's what he did. He scored the most points in a Final Four since 1989, guys. And that person was Danny Ferry for the Duke Blue Devils. That's the kind of performance Walter Clayton Jr. put up for that Florida team. And, oh, by the way, he put up back-to-back 30-point outings. And the last player to do that, he did it in the Final Four and then the Elite Eight. The last player to do that, go back even further, 10 years before the Danny Ferry thing. 1979, that player was Larry Bird, guys. So you talk about rarefied air for Walter Clayton Jr. And then also Elijah Martin in that game, 17 points with 3 rebounds. And then on the losing side for Auburn, Chad Baker-Mazzara, 18 points. He hit 4 threes. And then Johnny Broome, they pretty much kept him at bay, guys. Just 15 points, 7 rebounds, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. So he was putting up a double-double throughout, but this wasn't to be. Also, two guys, he was bothered by a injured shoulder, not shoulder, an injured elbow. So he kind of played it down, but you could see it was affecting his play. But nonetheless, Florida gets the victory, and they move on to the championship game on Monday. Now, in the second game, another shocker, guys. Duke Blue Devils, I thought they were poised to make that run. I thought Cooper Flagg was on a Carmelo Anthony-type run, being a freshman who can carry his team to the championship. But that wasn't to be, guys. Houston gets the win, 70-67. Now, in that game, Duke was up at half. So you had both games where the opposing team was up by 6, but nonetheless, Duke was up. And so much so, guys, they were up by 14 with 8 minutes left, and they whittled that down, Houston did. And the big story, guys, again, rebounds. Houston had the advantage, 42-31. So with that said, Houston advances on. And down the stretch for Duke, Cooper Flagg made some costly mistakes down the stretch. You know, the Rob Parkers of the world want to call it a choke job. I don't know if I go that far, but sure, Duke made mistakes down the stretch, but Houston was able to take advantage. So when all is said and done, Houston gets that squeaks by and get the victory. Leading the way for Houston, LJ Cryer, their senior, 26 points. He hit 6 threes in this game, guys, along with 5 rebounds. Emmanuel Sharp for them, the junior, 16 points, 3 rebounds for him. And then Jawan Roberts, he puts up a double-double, guys. 11 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals, guys. And then for Duke, Cooper Flagg, he did his thing. 27 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals. But again, he made some costly blunders that cost Duke in the end. And then Con Newble, 16 points and 7 rebounds for him. So Duke goes down. So now your final is the University of Florida versus the University of Houston, which you had the coach for Florida, Todd Golden, at the age of 39, one of the younger coaches to win a title. Well, the youngest since Jim Valvano, when he won his at 37 years old, going up against Ralph Sampson. Yeah, it's not Ralph Sampson. Kelvin Sampson. I'm sorry, guys. Ralph Sampson, what am I talking about? Anyway, so you had those two coaches going. So in that championship game, a game that I watched, and guys, I got to admit to you, it was pretty ugly to start, guys. Both teams went 0 for 13 from 3. Up until 8 minutes to go in the first half, then a 3-point shot was finally made. So because, you know, we talk about it in the NBA, it seems like in college, the proliferation of the three-point shot is there, and, you know, guys are not cashing in, so go figure. But in this game, it was a tight one, guys. It was a tight one. And just the, like I said, with the three-point goals, they both combined. This is what both teams combined for. 12 for 49. That's not good, guys. Not good at all. That's under 25% from the field. Not good at all. At halftime, Houston had the lead 31-28. And guys, they held Walter Clayton Jr. at bay in that first half. Actually, the player that kept them in it was Will Richard, who had a fine first half for them. He finished with 18 points, 8 rebounds. But, and this is how it shook out, guys. It came down to the last few possessions. 4 possessions, the Houston Cougars came up blank, guys. And Florida was able to take advantage of that. So much so, in the end, that last sequence was an absolute killer. It was hard to watch, guys, to be honest with you. I mean, the Houston Cougars absolutely froze. I couldn't believe what I was watching. All they had to do was go down and execute, and they couldn't even put up a shot. So when all is said and done, Florida gets the victory, 65-63. Again, Will Richard led the way, their senior, with 18 points, 8 rebounds. Alex Condon, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 4 steals in that game. Walter Clayton Jr., he was held at bay, guys, just 11 points on 5 of 20 shooting, 2 of 13 for 3, ouch. But he did have the 7 assists and 5 rebounds, so he was able to get his teammates involved. And then Elijah Martin, just 7 points for him, guys. Oh, I'm sorry. That was combined between Walter Clayton Jr. and Elijah Martin. They combined for 5 for 20 from the field and 2 for 13 from 3 between those two. So even still, even with that, not good. So there you have that. And then leading the way for Houston, LJ Cryer. He had 19 points, 6 of 18 shooting, so not good for him. He did hit 4 threes, and he had the 6 rebounds for Houston. But when all is said and done, Florida gets their 3rd championship. Remember, they got the back-to-backs with Billy Donovan and that squad there. And then, ironically enough, they win the championship on the same weekend that their previous coach, who won the championships, Billy Donovan, gets into the Hall of Fame. So it seemed like it was pretty much fitting for Florida to prevail, if you're looking at it that way. So, and like I said, they were down, well, I don't know if I mentioned, they were down by 12 with about 16 minutes left in the game. So that was the 3rd largest deficit that a team has overcome in an NCAA championship. So hats off to Florida for being able to pull something like that off, guys. That is monumental. So Florida, they get the win, the Florida Gators. So kudos to the University of Florida for getting their 3rd championship. And tough blow for Houston, man. I mean, they were this close. Is this worse than what happened with when they lost to NC State? Again, coached by Jim Valvano. So is this worse than that? you can make a case. You can make a case. For those not young enough, go back and look how that game finished. And yeah, I mean, that was a miracle too, but yeah, you be the judge. So anyhow, a tough break for the Houston Cougars, that's for sure. All right, with that said, let us move on to the Women's Championship. Their Final Four played on a Friday. I was able to check out both games, guys. South Carolina, in the first game, they took on Texas. Mind you, they took an L. Texas gave them an L during the season and in the championship in the SEC as well. So it was time for South Carolina to get a little get back. And boy, did they do it, guys. They end up winning 74-57 in a game where they absolutely put the clamps on Madison Booker, Texas's fine sophomore over there. They kept her at bay, and also Rory Harmon. They pretty much silenced her also. Leading the way for South Carolina, Tahina Pau-Pau, their senior, 14 points, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. Coming off the bench for them, Joyce Edwards, their freshman, gives them a double-double, 13 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. And then, guys, at the half, South Carolina was up 38-35, but in the second half, they absolutely blew the doors off. In fact, in that third quarter, South Carolina outscored them 20-9. So you pretty much from there was downhill for Texas. And the story, guys, field goal percentage. South Carolina shot nearly 51%. Texas, 39% over that. So that's your story pretty much, guys. So Dawn Staley and her ladies advanced to the final game for Sunday. And in the nightcap, you had UConn facing UCLA. UConn, the dominant team coming into these games here. They look very polished throughout these tournaments games here. And they get the win handily, guys. 85-51 in a game where Sarah Strong, oh my gosh, this freshman, she's the real deal, guys. 22 points with 8 rebounds. She knocked in 4 threes. Asia Fudd, she's starting to heat up, guys. 19 points and 3 steals. And Paige Beckers, their senior, their leader, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 3 steals. And then on the losing side, Lauren Betts, she scores 26 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. She was kind of pretty much kept at bay, though, by Connecticut's big, Jonna L. Alfie, a freshman. She's 6'5", going up against the 6'7", Lauren Betts. 6 points. She did grab 8 rebounds and get 4 steals. So very effective for them in slowing down Lauren Betts. And the story for UCLA, while Lauren Betts was having a game, the rest of the starters, only 5-22 from the field, 1-9 from 3, combining for 14 points. Not good at all, guys. Not good. So, and oh, by the way, here's how Connecticut did in each quarter, because you know they play quarters. They outscored UCLA by 10 in the first, 10 in the second, 3 in the third, and then 11 in the fourth quarter. Wow. thus getting the victory, guys. So UConn goes into that final game against South Carolina. Mind you, guys, this is a rematch of 2022 championship game in which South Carolina prevails. So you have that. And a game that I watched, guys, and it was an absolute UConn love fest. You had your old players there as well. You had players there like Maya Moore, Breonna Stewart. You know, the old heads are coming out there. Renee Montgomery, she was there as well. So, you know, they're going to represent. And then, of course, the icing on the cake, you have Rebecca Lobo in the booth doing the analyst work with Ryan Rucco. So there you have that. But UConn, they led at the half, 36-26. Asia Foote was absolutely on fire, guys, to start. And Sarah Strong, she just puts the final touches on things. So, with all that said and done, UConn gets the victory, guys, 82-59. You were kind of waiting to see when South Carolina was going to make a run. It just didn't happen, guys. UConn just had too much firepower between that big three of AZ Foote, also Sarah Strong, and then, of course, Paige Beckers. Foote would finish with 24 points, 5 rebounds, 3 steals. Sarah Strong with a double-double, guys, 24 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals. And, oh, by the way, during her tournament run, the most points by a freshman in the tournament. So things are looking very much up for Sarah Strong as she starts her UConn career. Paige Beckers, she does it all, 17 points. Didn't shoot it all that well, but it didn't matter, guys. She got her teammates going. 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks as well. So she was in there D'ing up. And then on the losing side for South Carolina, Joyce Edwards, 10 points for her, and then coming off the bench, Tessa Johnson, 10 points. The big story was this, that second quarter, guys, where, no, I'm sorry, the second half, where UConn just blew the doors off, 46-33. But the bigger story, guys, field goal percentage, UConn over 48% from the field. South Carolina just 34%. Not good. And, oh, by the way, the starters for South Carolina combined for 24 points. And you had AZ Foote with 24 and also Sarah Strong with 24. So that's not going to get it done, guys. And in the process, UConn does something that no other team has done. They would go on to beat 3 number one seeds in a row en route to a championship. Never done before, guys. That's how good they were. And just to recap the kind of run they were on throughout this tournament, in the first round against 15th-ranked Arkansas State, they would trounce them 103-34. Second round against South Dakota State, 91-57. And South Dakota State was a 10 seed. Then they would go on to the Sweet 16 where they faced Oklahoma, the number 3 seed, beat them handily, actually by the same score as they had in the final, 82-59. And then in the Elite Eight, in that storied showdown that everybody was waiting for, the number one seed, USC, albeit without Juju Watkins, they would get the win 78-64. And I've chronicled what they did in the Final Four and in the championship game. So, Gino Auriemma, he gets his 12th national championship, guys. Think about it. When he first came to Storrs, Connecticut, he built that program from the ground, and he took his lumps in the beginning, guys. But once they start to winning, there was no turning back. Now he has national championship and four different generation of UConn alums there. Mind you, his first championship, he just won his 12th in 2025. His first one 30 years ago, guys. 1995 with Rebecca Lobo, also with Jim Rosati, Carol Walters, Lakeisha Sales, Jamel Elliott and that crew. I remember that. They beat Tennessee. You know, my favorite coach of all time, Pat Summitt, beat that squad there. But that's where it all started for Gino Auriemma. And here we are 30 years later. He's still getting it done. I consider him the John Wooden of women's college basketball. Just think about it. How Wooden was able to keep his players, you know, not too many transfers. He was able to recruit and bring in the best players. That's who I equate a Gino Auriemma with. And mind you, he's doing it in a different climate than John Wooden, where, you know, you now have this transfer portal where players are going in and out, but the UConn players have been loyal to the soil for Gino, and you haven't seen too many transfers coming in. So, you know, once they get in that program, they're there to stay. So, big props to Gino Auriemma for being able to navigate these kind of waters. And it was always said, guys, that all they needed to do was have a healthy squad. And they finally had that this year and was able to prevail, guys. So definitely kudos to Gino Auriemma for being able to do that. And he's actually 12-1 in championship games. His only loss on his resume was the one I mentioned, the loss to South Carolina, Dawn Staley and her South Carolina team in 2022. So let's talk about the players here. Paige Beckers, what more can we say about this young lady? I am so thrilled for her getting the national championship. Thinking about all that she went through, guys. In her 4 years of, while she was playing, of course, four Final Four appearances, guys, and culminating with the one championship. So now she can be in that same room with the Breonna Stewarts, with the Maya Moores, with the Diana Taurasis, with the Sue Birds, with the even Rebecca Lobos. She can be in that room now that she's achieved and reached the pinnacle, guys. And then think about all that she had to endure injury-wise. She had ankle surgery in April of 2021, a meniscus tear, and then a tibial plateau in December 2021. Then she tears her ACL in August of 2022. And this was in her left knee. Plus, the meniscus tear in the tibial plateau was in the same left knee. So all this she endured, finally to grab the brass ring. So proud of her. So happy for Paige Beckers. And then let's talk about AZ Fudd, the most outstanding player in these tournaments here, and what she had to endure. Mind you, she's come into college basketball surviving an ACL and MCL tear that she sustained in high school. She tears her ACL in November 2023, along with a meniscus tear. And even this season, she had minor knee sprain that she had back in December. So between Fudd and Beckers, you know, they've had a laundry list of injuries, and yet still being able to come out of that, persevere through these tournaments, and get the championship. Kudos to those ladies. Kudos to them. They did an excellent job throughout these playoffs and this tournament here. Definitely, definitely big ups to them. And then lastly, Sarah Strong, their freshman. You come in, you're a value contributor. We know about our mom, Allison Feaster, who once played for Harvard, pulled one of the biggest upsets in NCAA women's college basketball history. And also, guys, Sarah Strong was heavily recruited, even by the likes of a Dawn Staley. But Allison and Sarah said, you know what? We're taking our talents to Stores, Connecticut, to UConn. And it's funny how that kind of thing shifts the balance of power. And it definitely did for UConn as they were able to get this championship. So much bigger things. Well, big things ahead for Sarah Strong as she continues in her college career. So definitely hats off to her. And then also too, with what Paige Beckers went through, this only gives, and I saw somebody write an article about this in Yahoo Sports. This gives Juju Watkins a glimmer of hope. All she has to do is go through her progressions, you know, go through her recovery with her torn ACL, and if she sticks to the program, does what she has to do, she too can prevail and possibly reach that brass ring as well and get that championship. So, you know, we always send prayers up for Juju Watkins to overcome the knee injury she sustained, and we see her back on the court sometime soon. So with that said, guys, that is it for your championship wrap-up, guys. So I wanted to talk about a couple of things before we close out. Olivia Miles for Notre Dame. She's not declaring for the draft, guys. In fact, she's leaving Notre Dame. And rumors from what I'm reading and hearing about, she's going to TCU, which I think is an absolute boon for her. After what Haley Van Lith did over there with TCU, oh man, Olivia's going to have a field day over there. So you have that. And then there was also an exodus of other players from Notre Dame. Players like Emma Riche and Kate Kuval, which led me, and actually myself and friend of the show, D, was talking about this. We were like, oh, this is not a good look for Neely Ivey, the coach. So, but as I delved into it, I actually found out what caused the rift. Hannah Hidalgo, her teammate with Notre Dame, she would go and repost something that this interview between Don Lemon that he had with Candace Owens. Candace Owens, a known conspiracy theorist and a nut job in my estimation, but I digress. So she reposted this video of her denouncing gay marriage and all this sort of stuff, just speaking disparagingly about the LBG2. I always get the letters mixed up, but you know what I'm talking about. But nonetheless, so Hannah Hidalgo reposts this, like this interview in her stories. And guys, let's just say it didn't go over well. And, you know, there was, and the thing was, you know, people were speculating why these players left. And they're saying, you know, it's pretty much this situation here. In fact, Olivia Miles on TikTok, this is how stuff is being done these days, guys. So you just got to keep up with it. She reposted a video that said, treating people right is better than posting Bible verses you don't even practice. And then the caption, her own caption said, can't treat people bad, then hide behind religion. So that's what Olivia Miles said concerning, you know, what Hannah Hidalgo did. Hannah Hidalgo, she actually wrote a letter on the Players Tribune, and here's some of it, guys. Until recently, basketball was this outlet. But when you're 19 years old and trying to figure your life out, and you start to get buzz on social media when you suddenly have a platform, it can be really overwhelming. It's a learning process. Among other things, you have to be intentional about what you post, which goes double if it's somebody else's, if it's somebody else you're amplifying, as opposed to something that comes from your heart. That reflects your character and authentic self. You know the posts I'm talking about. So she says that, and then she would go on to say, now feeling misrepresented is one thing. I've always been very private, and learning how to navigate the media in public as a young person is just plain hard. But realizing that I had this new responsibility and then I let people down, given the wrong impression, maybe even hurt people I care about, that got me spiraling. I grew a lot from the conversations I've had coming off that mistake, especially with friends I was afraid I'd hurt. Instead, I was relieved to feel embraced and safe. I'm not homophobic. I love all people and believe we all deserve to exist authentically. But I understand now how that narrative developed. I should have been more public about how much I value everyone's humanity and how what makes us unique as individuals can be what powers a great team. And this is from Hannah Hidalgo. So, you know, the message is clear here that, you know, what she, and this is why, you know, social media, you know, I kind of rail against it every now and again. You know, it can be a blessing and it can be a curse at the same time. But, you know, that's how these sort of things sort of happen. You see all that goes on with Angel Reese and social media and whatnot. So, you know, that's kind of the example there. And you think others will learn from that, you know, the things that Angel went through. But, you know, social media is just a part of these young folks' life. There's no way to get around it. So, but you got to know how to navigate through it. That's the thing. So you need strong people in your corner to help you in that regard. So hopefully lessons learned here from Hannah Hidalgo and they can move forward. So So that was the big news as far as Olivia Miles, you know, leaving the Notre Dame ball club. So there's that. And then also Flajay Johnson, she could have declared for the WNBA draft, but no, she's not declaring for the draft. And now there's questions about whether she'll return to LSU or not. I'm of the understanding that I think she will return to LSU. I don't see her leaving Kim Mulkey high and dry in that regard. I think she comes back to take another run at it. I could be wrong in all this, but I think she comes back for a senior season there. And then her teammate, Samaya Smith, she goes into the portal. So now you got a big that you got to kind of fill the spot of on that squad there. So we'll see what happens with that. And then for USC, when it rains, it pours as far as the bad news goes. No Juju Watkins. Now your promising freshman who could have filled the gap in the process, Avery Howell and Kaylee Heckle. Both ladies kind of stepped up in Juju's absence to kind of fill the void as far as points scored. Both those ladies are entering the portal. So where they end up, who knows? So we'll see what happens. And then you have the WNBA draft next week. Of course, we know Paige Bueckers will probably go with the first pick to Dallas. She'll be paired with Arika Ogunbowale and also over there, Dejanay Carrington and that squad over there. And then after that, it's pretty much a toying course because no Olivia Miles. So will Kiki Arifin, will she slide up maybe to the second pick? Who knows? Also to Sonia Centrone. Another player from Notre Dame, does she move up the charts? Then you also have the center coming out of France, Dominique Malongo. So you have her. Also, you got players in there, Nisa Morrow. Also, you got the ladies over there with NC State. Sanaya Rivers, and also Isaiah James. So you see what happened with them. Also, Georgia Amore, you got her in the draft as well. Haley Van Lith, I talked about her also. So, and then Sedona Prince for TCU as well. So a lot of names that will be thrown about for the draft. We'll see where everybody lands. Of course, you know I'll cover it, so we'll see what's what with that. So there you go with that. And then finally, guys, in the men's game, you have players already declaring, guys. Derek Queen of Maryland, the freshman, 6'10". He's going into the draft, guys. He had a promising tournament for that Maryland team. And then RJ Lewis Jr. of St. John's. He's a junior, so as far as college status. He's entering the draft. Also, you have the likes of Trey Johnson of Texas, swingman 6'6", freshman as well. He's projected to be a lottery pick, so we'll see. Jace Richardson of Michigan State. He's declared for the draft. And guys, his father is Jason Richardson, who had a nice career in the NBA. Jeremy Fears of Oklahoma. He's a 6'4 freshman. He's declaring for the draft as well. And then you have Dylan Harper of Rutgers, swingman as well, freshman. He's declaring for the draft as well. But remember, guys, these guys can pull their names from the draft. They have time, so you kind of, you know, see what happens, see where teams get placed. You know, of course, you know, they're going to have the lottery for the NBA, so guys kind of have time to kind of shuffle about, so we'll see what happens. But nonetheless, all right, guys, that's it. So, guys, we still have a full week of basketball left. I have to do a recap of last week. And then also, guys, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2025. I want to talk about that, guys. So definitely get into that. Like I said, the WNBA draft, I'll be breaking that down. So a lot of content coming your way. So with that said, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. There, my episodes, my clips. Also, guys, I'm on YouTube. Guys, I'm on all the podcast platforms, Apple included. So wherever you see my videos, like, share, do all the things. Guys, my donate page is on my website in the scroll on every show. You get to see it there. Also, my Cash App, $GD, that sports dude. Again, $GD, that sports dude is my Cash App. Help your boy out. Help your boy out. I got a lot of stuff coming down the pike for this summer. Liberty Games. Also, going to be, not sure if I'll make the NBA, the WNBA All-Star Game. Not sure if I'm going to go that route. We'll see. But a lot of stuff coming down the pike, guys. Then my socials, TikTok, IG, Blue Sky, some Facebook. I'm doing a little more stuff on Facebook now, seeing, kind of put my finger up, seeing where the wind blows, that sort of thing. So you know how it goes. Anyway, thank you for listening as always, and we'll talk soon, guys. Thank you again. Your listenership is what drives this show and keeps me going. So thank you so much. We'll talk soon. Take care.